Our gospel today is from the 11th chapter of John, beginning with verse 17. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were in her house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. And they followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus hates death because he is full of compassion. The emotions of Jesus we're looking at today. What is the heart of Jesus? What compels him? How did he move in the world? This account of Jesus raising Lazarus, which we didn't read the whole thing, but when he raised Lazarus from the dead, gives us a full picture of the heart of Christ. I can say that we all can firmly say that there is something we collectively hate. We hate death. Would you not agree? We hate it. Why? Well, death is a final goodbye. We know time's up. You can't hold your loved one's hand or sit at their side. No conversations around the dinner table or in the car. Not there to share a meal, to share a smile or a joke. They're not there to laugh with. And when you think of something you'd really like to tell them, you can't just call them up and let them know. You can't call them to be reminded of something you forgot. I hate death. We've had our share of it, Chris and I, losing all four of our parents. We've lost dear friends. We've lost dear people in our churches that we've served. And we know that death is not fair. Sometimes it feels like the people who deserve to die live, and the ones who deserve to live die. As the scriptures say, we face death all day long. It's always before us. But in today's gospel, we see that Jesus hates death because he is full of compassion. We're ending our series called Declarations, the I Am, I Ams of Jesus, with his infamous words today, I am the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus makes this statement in the midst of the saddest times for Mary and her sister Martha, because their dear brother is dead. And they knew, as they told him, if Jesus would have come, he could have saved him, because they knew he had the power to heal. And yet, he arrived too late. And so they're grieving, and they're angry even, and they're distraught, and they have nowhere to turn but sadness. Their entire story is in the 11th chapter of John. And this story does begin with a very strange context, if you'd want to open your Bibles to chapter 11, that Jesus hears of Lazarus' sickness. He knows that he knows he's going to die, but he waits 4 days before he actually arrives on the scene. His disciples are puzzled by that, and yet they follow him to Bethany, where he will. Verse 14, it says, verse 13, now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking a rest. And Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. And then we pick up today's reading. They get there, and Lazarus is already in the tomb 4 days. And the focus is around Martha. First, her question, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. To which Jesus says, whoever believes in me will live. And then she goes and gets her sister Mary. And Mary has a much different reaction, we can imagine. First of all, Jesus is the perfect man, right? He's God in the flesh. And so he has the perfect response to death. Can you imagine having the perfect thing to say to anyone who's grieving? Because we fumble. We fumble around. We sometimes say things that are inappropriate or just not sensitive, but Jesus had the perfect response. And a general rule that we talk about in our grief share class that we're going to start again in January is that if you don't know the right thing to say, don't say anything. That works usually the best. Just give a hug, be there, share your presence with them. But Jesus spoke, and he showed his emotions. Well, what emotions are most prominent for Jesus? When one, I think it really oversees and overarches everything he did, is the emotion of compassion. We see that in other places in the Gospels. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The word compassion is the Greek word splanchnino. Let me get this right. Splanchnizo. Isn't that great? Splanchnizo, you should say it. Splanchnizo. It means compassion. And it doesn't just mean kind of a passing pity where you refer to the depth of, you know, just kind of a, like, I feel sorry for you. That word is a depth of feeling that, and the longings that churn within you. The noun of this verb means most literally your guts, your intestines. It's the core of your being. That's where this compassion comes from. Jesus showed compassion when he fed the 5,000. He said, don't send them away, give them something to eat. And he had compassion on the blind man who couldn't see. He had compassion on the leper who needed to be healed. And he shows in a story the father's compassion for the prodigal son, the wayward sinner, as the father saw him in a distance and had this churning this compassion from deep within, and ran to his son to restore him. That Jesus is moved with compassion is consistent with all we know about Jesus. Has anything ever moved you so deeply that you were so compelled to do it you couldn't help yourself? I think that's how a mother often feels when their child is sick. They have such compassion. They want to help them. They want them to not be in pain or crying. That's splachnizo, compassion. Have you also wondered why it is you sometimes don't have that much compassion? Like you, kind of a lukewarm feeling, like it's, I feel a little sorry for you, but I don't really want to go out of my way to help you. You see a person lean against the building or sleeping on a sidewalk asking for money, and the first thing I think of is, okay, if I give this person money, they're going to go off and get some booze or drugs. Not a good experience, not a good thought, but I've met a lot of people, and a lot of people that use their predicament as a way to get help. So, and the help that they're getting is just their next fix. So that's true of people, but I wonder, and I maybe shouldn't be surprised when I have a lukewarm reaction to compassion. But I recall a story with Mother Teresa when she visited Washington, D.C. And a homeless man approached her and asked her, "What should I do to change my situation?" And she answered him simply, "Stop drinking." That's the truth. You know? That's actually an answer full of compassion, because exactly that is what this man needed to do. Get some help. Go to recovery. Go to a treatment house. There's people that want to help you, but you're staying stuck in your addiction. Jesus has perfect compassion, and it's certainly one of the attributes that attract us to him. And Jesus showed incredible compassion with Martha and Mary. I think the thing that strikes us the most is when he speaks with Mary, the shortest verse of the Bible, he weeps. He cries from the depth of his being. He's sad with her, but also sad for himself, because Lazarus was his friend. He was his dear friend that he grew up with, as were Mary and Martha. But then there's something here that I never noticed before until this week, when our staff is reading a book called Gentle and Lowly. And it's a simple sentence in verse 33. It says, "When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved." Greatly disturbed. Deeply moved. Now, that's a good translation of that word, but that word is only occurring 5 times in the New Testament, 2 in this section of John, and that word also means righteous anger. The word is embrima omai. It could also be translated sternly warned or distressed, but it can mean anger, a righteous anger. Jesus is deeply moved here to the point of anger. He's angry at death. He's angry what death is doing to his dear people, because he's full of compassion. A famous Princeton theologian professor named B.B. Warfield pointed out the nuance in this world, embrimomai, that Jesus approaches the grave of Lazarus in a state not of uncontrollable grief, but of irresponsible anger. Irrepressible anger. The emotion which tore his breast and clamored for utterance was just rage. Warfield goes on to consider the role that the Lazarus episode plays in John's gospel. As a whole, he ties it to the heart of Christ. In exquisite, inextinguishable fury seized upon him, it is death that is the object of his wrath. and behind death, him who has the power of death, and whom he has come into the world to destroy. Tears of sympathy may fill his eyes, but that is incidental. His soul is held by rage. The rising of Lazarus thus becomes not an isolated marvel, but a decisive instance, an open symbol of Jesus' conquest of death and hell. What John does for us is to uncover for us the heart of Jesus as he came to win for us our salvation. Not an uncommon, in some kind of cold unconcern, but in flaming wrath against the foe, our foe, death. And Jesus smites it on our behalf. He's not only saved us from the evils that oppress us, he felt for and with us in our opposition to this terrible thing. And under the impulse of these feelings, he has wrought out our redemption. Jesus hates death because he is full of compassion. I think to the grieving, that is a word of hope. To all of us, it's a word of hope. Jesus is with you. He hates that you hurt. He hates that your heart is aching. I love the psalm that was read this morning. Psalm 56, verse 8 says, "You," in referring to God, "you have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record?" That's God speaking about us. He holds our tears in a place, in a bottle. That bottle could be like an animal hide prepared to hold wine or milk or water, but he holds our tears in such a place. God cares for his people and pays attention to their pain and fear and grief. David tossed and turned in the night, stressed with anxiety. It says, "You know my tossings." Have you ever tossed and turned all night long? God knows. God has taken careful note of every single moment. And he put these tears in a bottle. He will not forget any single tear shed in grief. I love what the end of the Bible speaks of in Revelation 21, that he will wipe every tear away from their eyes. So there'll be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. Such is the comforting depth of God's love for his children. Because Jesus hates death, because he is full of compassion. Let us pray. Lord, we can, for ourselves, be confident that our lives are held in you. And so, for us who believe in you, death may not be as frightening as it is for us to consider losing loved ones, losing people that are dear to us, people we have spent our life with. That is much more frightening to us than probably dying ourselves. But we thank you, Lord, that you hate death, and you remedied the situation by being the resurrection, by not saying death has the victory, but by saying and proclaiming that you have the victory. You are victorious over death, and you hate death as we do, but we can trust and hold on to your compassion, your love, and your righteous anger that it's okay to hate death along with you. But Lord, you also bring healing, and we thank you for the grace you give to us. So today, as we continue in this time of remembrance, may you hold us and heal us and help us. In your name we pray. Amen.